Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, we started looking at the believer's authority. Series 2, oh, glory to God. Ephesians 1, let's read from verse 17. We're looking at believer's authority. We set out last week, and one of the most intelligent statements I've heard with respect to this particular subject in the scriptures is the fact that the believer's authority is not only important, it is necessary. It's not only important, it is what? Necessary. In other words, if it wasn't necessary, you and I would not be given. And so we're looking at scriptures again because there is righteousness and there's righteousness consciousness. They're not the same. There's righteousness and there's righteousness consciousness. Righteousness is a nature, understanding that God gave to us in Christ Jesus. Righteousness consciousness is you and I embracing that nature, understanding. So righteousness by itself will not benefit you to the fullest except you are conscious. Because we have an intelligent enemy who comes against us in our consciousness. So though you are harmed, you may not know you are harmed. Sometimes a believer like somebody who has a gun that is loaded, doesn't know how to cock it, doesn't know how to aim it, doesn't know how to shoot it. Yeah, the person I give you the gun that said, stand guard, make sure nobody breaks into your house at night, a single shot from the gun can scare off most thieves. The gun was given to you, the gun is loaded, you don't know how to cock the gun, you don't know how to aim the gun, you don't know how to fire the gun. So three important things: you cock it, you aim it, you fire it, you don't know how to do things. The person that gave you the gun has done what they need to do, which is to give you what you need, so to speak, not only to stay alive, but to preserve your property, your estate. That's all you need. And the kind of gun you were given, the bullets can't run out. So your responsibility now is to learn how to cock, to aim, and to shoot. Those three activities require practice. You couldn't produce the gun. You couldn't produce the bullet. You didn't even know enough to know that the gun is all you will need. But the person that put you in charge knows exactly what you need. So he gives you a loaded gun. And he says, you know what? Master how to cock the gun. Master how to aim the gun. Then master how to what? To shoot. Because you are going to have to get used to the sound. Why do people that handle guns practice on a shooting range? You know what they call a shooting range? It's designated for that particular purpose. And if you ever watch it in movies, people that fire at a shooting range, they wear head gear so that the effect. Now, that's the sound aspect of it. The other aspect of it is the recoil of the gun. It has a recoil velocity. In other words, as you shoot it, it jacks back. You have to get used to that feel. If you don't get used to it, you can misfire the gun. Then problems can start. So there are many factors involved. But that part is your part. So there's believer's authority, which is what God gave to us in Christ Jesus. There's a training yourself in the consciousness of it. And the training is an ongoing one. That means you get better. So, how do you know you're getting better? The more proficient you become at the use of it, the more you see the possibilities available within the scope of that authority, the more bold you are over time. So, there's a training that is required. Now, Ephesians 1, from verse 16. Paul's prayer for the church, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge. That's the word epignosis of him. The word is used a lot in the epistles of Paul, but not limited to Paul. It's used also by Peter. It's used by most of the writers, because epignosis actually means full knowledge. It means that which is complete. He's not talking about a pedestrian knowledge. You know, he's not talking about, I heard something about it. He's talking about having facts at the tip of your fingers. So in other words, the more facts you have, the more epignosis you have. He's talking about precise. Not a passerby kind of knowledge. Precise. You have information that is accurate, that is precise. That is what makes for boldness in your walk with God. So notice, he will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, as King James rendering. A better translation is, he will give you wisdom, which is revelation by the Spirit. The eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. That's the eye of your mind. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the word? Exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to what is on the power which he wrought in Christ when he what? Raised him from the dead. Now let's look at the authority part of it. We'll come back now. Look at the next one. Far what? Above all principality and power and might and what? Dominion and every. The minute you hear name, let authority come to your mind. The word name will make you understand what the word above is. Because again, Bible language is not what you will call natural everyday language. Bible language, or the translators, what they did with our everyday language was an attempt to interpret the mind of the authors of the scriptures. Sometimes they succeed, sometimes they fail. Because when you hear far above, we are thinking of heights. But far above is here. Because how high a throne you sit on is not what determines how much authority you wield. That's just a physical height. A physical height is not equivalent to a spiritual height. So a spiritual height speaks about reverence, speaks about dominion, speaks about the majesty. That's what spiritual presence speaks of. So the most important individual who has the highest authority can be honorably looking in our midst. We sit in the same arena, in the same place, but the authority they wield is different. That means when you speak, things happen. When they speak, things also happen. But the things that happen when they speak far surpasses what happens when you speak. So you know, you are sitting in the same place, but the person's authority is far more. Okay. Some years ago, I gave us an illustration about a movie I watched. You can see spiritual truth in movie. Air Force One. I mean, never remember that illustration. I never forgot it. Because that was the first time I understood a little bit about the institution called the President of the United States. I discovered the man, whoever is there, is an institution. So, and that's why till today, a strike against the U.S. is a strike against the free world. You're not striking one man. You're striking the entire free world. That's what it represents. Okay. So, you know the story about how there was a kidnap. The plane was hijacked. The plane that was hijacked had the most sophisticated equipment at that time in the world. But they hijacked the plane. So a rescue mission took place in the air. That's serious. Rescue mission took place in the air. Far above. Now, when the mission took place, here's what I noticed that touched me the most. There were people surrounding the presidents who were ready to sacrifice their lives. It was their job to sacrifice their lives. That was their job. But the president was not be touched. So, because he has all the codes, his fingerprint, password, can destroy half of the world for nuclear weapons. So he must not be captured by any means. So, the minute they're able to rescue him, and they put him on an ordinary plane, immediately that plane became Air Force One. He didn't have all the equipment of the first original plane, and now discovered that it wasn't the equipment that made that other plane Air Force One. It was the presence of who is on board. So the believer's authority is a function of who lives in you. The man that is practicing sorcery is counting on some things he has swallowed. He has seen the effect of those things he has swallowed. Those things are vouched for by demonic power. He is so confident in those things, he confronts the world. Confident in the things he has swallowed, he was given swallow, that is backed by demonic power. But the Bible says, Jesus is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He's not telling you there will be other thrones named. He's telling you that the authority he has is perpetual. He doesn't feel. He doesn't fade. It's not like kings that are enthroned and dethroned. He cannot be dethroned. His authority is eternal. So when Paul is writing this, the reason why he's praying that prayer is because by chapter 2 he now says, remember, in Bible interpretation we said, when you read chapter 1 to chapter 2, don't let the chapters fool you to think he's not talking about the same thing. Because if you read all the way, it says far above all their power and might and dominion and everything that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him that fills all and is in all. That's what that word means, in case you're wondering. The fullness of Christ fills all, and that fullness is where? Is in all. So, ideally, if they followed law of interpretation, chapter 2 is not meant to start. Because that's part of chapter 1. So, you're meant to read the next statement, and you, as he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We're going to look at that. Because what authority is not a feeling. It's a consciousness. So the man who has swallowed some things, some charms, is counting on demonic power to exercise some authority over forces of nature. You also swallowed something. Only what you swallowed is not physical. When you open your mouth to confess Jesus Lord, he came to live inside you by his spirit. So what you have cannot even be seen is even stronger. So whatever you are using should not be predicated on how you feel per time. The man that swallowed something can touch and feel what he swallowed. You can't feel what you received. Because what you receive, once you receive it, it cannot be reversed. It's a one-way traffic. So you receive the Spirit of God. And when you received it, God doesn't have a lower position except far above. Far above is all that God has. He doesn't have any other thing. Because you were raised with Christ when he rose from the dead. In that raising from the dead is far above. That is, no other authority supersedes that resurrection. So every other being, listen carefully, is within the scope and underneath the power of that resurrection. Because when you know what it means for Jesus to be raised up, you know the scope of the authority God gave you. How does Satan exercise authority? It's one of the things we need to look at for us to know what it means to be far above. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4. From verse 1. Then when Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, look at the rendering of the scripture, very terrible. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. When he got there, he was tempted. Not that he was led to be tempted. Jesus told us, lead us not into... So how will God lead you to be tempted? God will not bring you tempting. That means Satan is now saying that God's a ramboy. No. He was led into wilderness where he was tempted. Look at next verse. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, it was afterwards what? Always pay attention. No. When was he hungry? Before or after? Was he hungry during 40 days and 40 nights? Was he hungry? No, he was not hungry. Somebody said, why was he hungry? He was led. He was led. He didn't just wake up and say, 40 days. He was led. Was he hungry? No. Afterwards, he was hungry. Why? 40 days is over. So the temptation didn't take place during the fasting. It took place after the fasting. Look at next verse. Then that came and said unto him, thou be the Son of God, command that this was made bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by one, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
God. Again, when we are losing our Bible interpretation, when you look at the word, man shall not live by bread alone. The word live there doesn't mean you are sustained by bread alone. It's saying that man is not designed to be sustained by things from the natural realm. Man is meant to, what next word live means, man is meant to come alive by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That word live there means he's meant to come alive. What's he talking about there? Moses' promise of salvation. A man will come alive by the word that proceeds. That's the rhema of God will make him come alive. Look at next verse. He took him up to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, said unto him, if thou be the son of God, cast thyself down, for his written shall give his any charge over thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest you dash, attend them, dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil takes him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Okay, let's look at Luke. There's a detail that I want us to look at. Let's start from verse 4. Luke 4:4. Next verse. There's a detail I want you to see. All this power, notice what power, that's what authority, will I give thee, and what? The glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, and what? I will give. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And from this scripture, people have said that Satan has power over the whole earth. So, where things like whatever Satan stole, God should restore to you. The question is, what is Satan steal? Let him restore my car, restore my house, restore my, and then prayer point starts. But look at what Satan said. Authority, power was delivered to me, and I can give it to whosoever I am. And then people connected that with Genesis chapter 1. And that's the beginning of erroneous doctrine. So Genesis chapter 1. Now we've done a series of teachings along this line. But I've learned as a pastor to repeat things. That it helps. Genesis 1:26. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've read that teaching before. That Adam fell. He lost the dominion that God gave him. The question is, did he ever have the dominion? He never did. But it's a common teaching till today. It's still being taught. Why? From one or two verses of scripture. And you cannot enforce a doctrine on one or two verses of scripture. It doesn't make for sound study. So Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man out in our image after our likeness. Let them have what? When will they have? When we make them in our image after our likeness. What will they have? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps. So let us make man. It's a statement of intention. If I say let us make man after our image, after our likeness, that means man is talking about is not yet what? In his image and what? Likeness. Let us. A statement of intention. Are you with me this evening? Now, let us make man. Psalm 8, in verse 4. The next time something of that nature was mentioned, Psalm 8 from verse 4. Look at the reference. What is man that you are what? Mindful. Now, the prophets are inquiring. David was a prophet. The Bible says the prophets sat diligently and they were inquired as to the time frame of the prophecy. So, the prophet spoke in an inquiring fashion. So David is questioning, finding out, what is man that you are mindful, and the son of man that you visited him? Can you see that? That's David inquiring. Where is that reference coming from? He's taking that Genesis quote. Look at what this is. Look at next verse. This is what it says. You have made him a little more than the angels. You have come with glory and what? With honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Stop. This is David making an inquiry. Where is the inquiry coming from? What God said in Genesis, let us make man, let him have dominion. So David is saying that, what is man? What is going on? Where is the dominion? Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Another rule of Bible interpretation is this. The first time the scripture is quoted, the next time it's quoted, it will be clearer than the first time it's quoted. Then the other time in the epistles is quoted, it will be clearer than the two other previous times. Are you understand? The time you get to the fulfillment of the promise, it will become clearer in explanation. Because now, they will use plain speech. So,
Hebrews 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified. Who is that person that testified? David. What is a man that you are what mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visited him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. And you set him over the work of your hands. You put all things in subjection under him. So he's quoting prophecy. This is what the prophecy says. Now look at him. For that he put all things in subjection under him. He left nothing that's not put under him. But now, we do not yet see. So Genesis 1:26 cannot be about Adam. Because when we saw Adam, he didn't look like somebody who had everything under him. No. It couldn't have happened in Genesis. Because the man that we saw in Genesis, nothing was under him. Absolutely nothing. That's what he's trying to say. This is what is reaching. But this is what we see. We're not yet seeing anything under him. Look at next verse. Oh, glory to God. But we see Jesus. Okay. So when you said, let us make man in Genesis, you had another Adam in mind, not that Adam. For the first Adam is of the earth, earthly. The second Adam is a Lord from heaven. If he's Lord from heaven, then he must be the image of God. Adam cannot be the image of God. It must be this other Adam who is what? The image of God. So that is what you are talking about. That you said, let him have dominion. So it is in making him or making men in that man's image that dominion can be given. Then begin to understand dominion over what? Because it can't be dominion over other men. What will you need to dominate? What will you need dominion over? Hallelujah. Are you following tonight? We're taking an old teaching over again, afresh, because I'm looking at it as though you have never heard it before. That's the best way to teach it. So when you read Genesis 1:26, once you misunderstand Moses' style of writing, you will come to the conclusion God gave them that dominion. Did them now? God's dominion is not a losable dominion. God's life is not a life you can lose. To make man in the image and likeness means Adam will have had the life of God, which can be lost. If he had the life of God, God would never say, eat of the tree of life, since you're already made of life. Oh, are you with me tonight? He told him to eat of the tree, which was a prophecy about Christ's coming. Somebody says, if Adam had heard about that tree, heard about the tree, remember, Christ was not meant to come in the time frame of Adam. That means to eat of the tree of life would also have been a promise written. It would have been the same thing as, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It would have been the same thing. Christ will come in due time to fulfill Genesis 1:26. Now we have made man in our image and after our likeness. So Hebrews 1, verse 3 tells us that Christ is what? The express image. The superimposition of God in flesh. Express image. So God's prophecy is, let us make man in our image, after what? Our likeness. And if they're in that image and likeness, let them have what? Dominion. So the dominion is in the image and the likeness. Think about it. If Adam needed dominion in Genesis, what was he going to dominate? What did he dominion over? There's peace everywhere. What will you dominate? What are you dominating? What do you need to subdue? Nothing. Nothing was out of order until he sinned. Nothing was out of that. So it was a promise. It was a prophecy and a promise. So let's go back now. Glory to God. Back to Hebrews. Praise God, praise God, praise God. But we see Jesus, who was made what? A little lower than the angels, or he became mortal. He is not lower in authority. He is lower in appearance. He became mortal, subject to death. Angels are not subject to death. He became mortal. So that, notice, for the suffering of death, the scripture explains itself. When we say lower than angels, we mean he is able to experience what? A death. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should what? Taste death. In tasting death for every man, is how it will bring men into the image of God. It should taste death. That's what taste does mean. You remember Peter's words when he says that, if so be you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. So what does it mean to taste? Experienced. So that by the grace of God, it should experience death for how many people? You know, that's one of the reasons why we preach today. People are going to hell, and Christ has experienced their death already. That means they are simply going to hell for no reason, except ignorance. You don't know of more pain than that. It's really painful. You are going to die. You are going to hell, and you should not go because it has been paid for. That's payment choice. That's why we're careful about preaching the gospel. We never preach from a way of condemnation. It's even better for you to preach from a way of stupidity. Are you stupid? See, as you are rushing to hell, and somebody has paid the price, why would you go and pay for something you want somebody to pray for? To wit, that God was in Christ, not imputing. You want to die, and somebody is not holding sins. Even the one you are in here is not holding it against you. Somebody says, why is not holding? Because somebody paid for it. Like saying you went through the store, you bought everything you could buy. And as you're going out, usually a security person will ask for your receipt. You don't have a receipt, and security person is not stopping. And some of us will still go there. Excuse me, you didn't ask me for my receipt. Say, you know, you don't need the receipt. Somebody paid before you came. Not imputing their sins unto them. He experienced death for every man. Now, when we think about death, again, Bible terms are very interesting. Because your mind becomes renewed gradually. Okay, for instance, have you seen drama before? Drama, you know, drama. You watch drama before. You're not going to a church where they do drama about Christ's resurrection and stuff like that. And that is their own understanding as far as they can go. But you know, when you have a drama where Jesus is in open combat and he's using iku, iki, ipa, you are bringing spiritual realities to the senses. None of that happened. Satan is a spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus went in the spirit to hell. And the way he disarmed principalities and powers was by paying the price for sin. Because the hold over man was sin. If I pay the price for sin, and sin gives you dominion over men, I've removed your dominion from men. Whatever sorcery was used to hold a man down, if the reason why you have a legal right to hold that man is because of man's sins, the minute I pay for that man's sins, I have disarmed you. I've rendered your influence over that man useless. Hallelujah. So to taste death for every man simply means the armor that Satan trusted in as his right to rule was taken from him at the death of Jesus. Because what man was dealing with was spiritual, it wasn't natural. Satan doesn't need to be punched. Punches don't affect him. What is he using? Where is his dominion? His dominion is the dominion of sin. So when he was telling Jesus in that temptation, the power was delivered unto me. Who delivered the power? It was through man's sin. That's how Satan came into operation. That's how he began to have mastery. It was through the sin of man. Look at Romans chapter 5. Oh, at the end of this teaching, when we get to that point where you are righteousness conscious, there's some things you start laughing at. You mean I was afraid of this thing? See, I knew some young men on campus. They used to eat sacrifices. Question, what is in the sacrifice? Food. Sometimes very good food. I've used to sacrifice where you put almost a whole ram. That God wants to eat a whole ram. A height of stupidity. You sacrificed physical food to a spirit being. The height of stupidity is a height of stupidity. So a spirit being wants to come and eat physical food. And then some of them, the mockery, you see sacrifice there for days. They say, ah, it has been accepted, but we can see it. We are seeing it. And some of their gods are very miserable gods. It's a call, they are giving the god a call. A call and oil. What kind of god is that one? God can eat better food. That's for pizza and kind of, yeah, God is that one. God is eating a core and palm oil.
Very annoying. I mean, you are eating better than the God you are serving. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with your thinking. You are eating buffet, everything, and then the God you are serving is not collecting. You know, I watched a comedy years ago. I learned some of those things, the Yoruba comedy. I don't want to mention the person's name. The name was only that my teacher. He gave a sacrifice to one of these gods, and it was yam with oil. He came out in the morning, the thing was still there. He said, ah, they are so stubborn. You didn't eat this thing. In this time when things are costly. You didn't eat this thing. When things are costly. I know you are very stubborn. It's because you have no value. He said, I began to eat it. You don't have, they give you something like this. He said, sitting now. You didn't eat it. When food is cut like this, you began to eat it. Why? The gods are dead. There's only one living God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when somebody tells you, I will curse you in name, which the God that is dead, I serve the only living God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I'm of that family. You are far beneath me. I'm far above you. Hallelujah. Holy consciousness. As they are bringing out their charm, they are rolling it. Nonsense is doing nonsense. Nonsense is doing nonsense. You're just looking at how ignorant you are. A curse without a curse cannot come. You are waving nonsense because you yourself, you are nonsense. Because you had to be nonsensical to believe in that nonsense you are waving. Somebody told you that this thing was, if it just touches you like this, touch who? How? When you are seated far above, a consciousness that makes you know. That makes you know. Glory to God. It was conscious. He tasted death for every man. We're supposed to be in Romans, right? Romans chapter 5. Because when you read this, all this power will I give unto the people like, he has power there. No. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Satan is the God of this world. Understand what the word world means. The world doesn't mean the earth. The word means the arrangement behind the scenes. Not the earth. Every cattle on the 1,000 hills belongs to God. You know, when Paul quoted that scripture, Psalm 24, verse 1, when he quoted in the epistles, he was talking about food that men offer to idols and other things. They are doing Salah. So when they were slouching animal, they were chanting some things. They're chanting nonsense and nothing. The head plus the ram belongs to the Lord. Whatever belongs to the Lord belongs to me. Pastor, do you eat ram that sounded to you? No, that's the wrong question. Pastor, do you eat ram? Yes. Any ram? What is your problem? The problem is what you're about to say. Do you eat ram that slaughter don't? Do you eat ram? Ram is ram. What do you call? When they were saying they were chanting something, it's still ram. It didn't change from being ram, it's still ram. What are they chanting? Who does it affect? The person that's chanting it. The person that's chanting it. How do you become saved? You chanted something. Did it affect you? Yes. How? It gave you life. But have you noticed my confession cannot save you? So how will your own chance over this save affect what I'm going to eat? Is what I say over it? What will I say over the meat? Nothing should be refused if it's rich Thanksgiving. You better understand this thing. Nothing should be refused if it's received what? Thanksgiving. What did you say? What's my own? Nothing to be refused. Received it. Whatever you see in the shampoos by, asking no question. And this meat, the way this meat is again, is it from the temple? Asking no question. That question you are asking now is about to affect you. What do you want to hear? This one they got it from Hare Krishna. You see your problem? Why you asking question? You must say, asking no question. Because the person who says from social temple, that is their knowledge. This knowledge is not in everyone. What knowledge? To us, there's but one God. To us, there's but one God, the Father. There may be God's many and Lord's many, but to us, there's one Lord. Only one. There's no several one. People will take good meat and go and throw it away. Wastage. Very wrong something. Wastage. Say, if you don't want to bring it to my house, sanctify it by the word of God and prayer.
That's all.
Nothing is to be refused. That's why I'm not refusing this scripture. Nothing is to be refused. Why are you refusing? They mentioned something. What did they mention? Did you hear what? You even know what they mentioned? The person who is mentioning it is doing it ignorantly by the tradition he learned from his elders. Doesn't know any better. You that you know better. You two are now calling nothing something. That's the problem. And the earth is the Lord and the fullness plus the ram that is inside it and every chicken. Nothing is to be refused. You see good as soon you are saying something's wrong with it. It's wrong. Hallelujah. When Paul was quoting it, he was talking about things like that. Why? He says, this knowledge is not in every man. That means some with conscience of something offered to idol. So they still think there's an idol. What do we know? An idol is nothing. Glory to God. An idol is nothing. So those young men that were eating sacrifices, what was their conviction? The gods are dead. It's after a while they began to change location of sacrifice. They knew. He said he didn't know why they were changing location. Since when you're putting it there, you believe a God will come and eat it. And when we came to eat it, you're not changing location. Are you hiding from the gods? You're very rascally. So some couldn't eat because it was so poor. So sometimes we found a full chicken and said, this is a good one for the proper God. Not this fake God that I'm moving up and now. Is that changing location? Now, why won't you eat it? You've watched African Magic. You know that's the problem. If you never saw African Magic and you saw food in Nike, if you are in places like UK or US, you know you eat. But if you're in Africa, you know your mind is thinking, if I eat, I'll just turn to goat. Is it like? You have watched much African. Is what? So they've given you a consciousness of evil. You see a pack now of 1,000 naira on the note, one pack, 100k. It's like, my enemies. Why can't you just think that the money just fell from somebody's hand and pick the money? Because if you don't pick somebody else to pick the money, I hope you know. You see where you are looking at. Somebody else will pick the money. You see, listen, your reason for not picking the money is important. If you're not picking because you think you turned to something, you know something's wrong with you. Your conscience is wrong. Somebody has to pick the money. I know what they're going to use it for. At least you are a child of God. Somebody has to know whether it's Igbo. You're a child of God. Don't you need the money? You found money on the road. The most terrible thing is you say, too much African magic. That's the problem. You need to purge your mind of African magic. Because that money was probably accidentally dropped by someone. Haven't you lost money before? Did somebody else not pick it? Did anything happen to them? No. Nothing happened to them. They are fine. Not your conscience. You cannot talk about conscience when the money you picked is not within the circumference of somebody you know. How can you pick money in Agege? What do you know in Agege? How many people go and go to? And we know in Nigeria, if you go to the police, that's the end of the money. I'll be honest and say, it's even for like somebody lost found money in a taxi. Taxi is the location you know who you pick last. That's different. On the road, there's nobody to report to. The person is probably long gone. That's the truth of the person long gone. That's not stealing. That's called finders keepers. Because if it's your money that fell, somebody, in fact, the money has exchanged hands. That's all. Somebody else that has needs of it has taken it. That's all. What do? You believe God, Father? That's us. That's all. You know, some of these things that I don't know the way we are moral, the way we morally think. You know, why are you not picking the money? Because you think you will turn to something. You know, you already turned to something. You are a God on the earth. But the resurrection life is Christ Jesus. You are a constituted authority upon the earth. Where you are, there's dominion. Where you are, there's a realm of authority where you are. No sorcery, no enchantment can work against you. Hallelujah. Nothing can work against you. Your very presence sanctifies everything. Glory to God. Your very presence sanctifies anything that's unsanctified. Your very presence. You must think that way, feel that way, act that way. You must see yourself that way. Glory to God. And I left my message because some of you needed to hear what I just said now. You're running away from 1,000 and running away from that. That's how you see 10,000 as you also run away. God has buttered your bread. You are running away. I'm just telling you now. If you see that money in church now, you pick it now. Hey, you know the proper thing to do. We are among brethren. In an isolated place, who are you going to tell? There's nobody to even report to. Okay, who is going to? You are going to wait by the side of the road. Somebody will soon pass by. Who? The person doesn't even know where they draw the money. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That's the truth. We don't have a system where we can go and drop the money there so that when the person reports, they can get it there. Not Nigeria police. That's the end of it. That's the end of it. You know? The person that found money some years back and at the bank and reported thousands of dollars. I reported it. People were blaming him. Some people were cursing him. That's how terrible our mindset is. It was a cab driver. No, a security guard. He returned the money. The day they were doing their annual meeting, they called the man and awarded him. He was not expecting happened to him that day. I watched it live on TV. The president of the bank where he worked for said they were going to appreciate him again 5 million. What he was not expecting wasn't just that amount. It was about four other presidents of other banks came up and started topping the money. Started topping the money. He didn't expect it. He was in tears for being a faithful man, as an example. The sad part is that the next person that finds money, they may not give the person anything.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 5. Where did Satan's dominion come from? Romans chapter 5. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin, what? Entered the world, and death by sin. So death, notice death, passed upon all men, that is all that have sinned. That phrase is not for all that have sinned, no. That is all that have what? Sinned. Death passed upon all men. So go back to Hebrews in chapter 2. So we can get our projector back. Hebrews chapter 2. See what it says in verse 14. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might what? Destroy him that had what? The dominion of death. How did Satan get dominion of death? Through the sin of man. So by man submitting to sin, he gives Satan dominion. And Satan's dominion is dominion that sin gave him over man. So because we're going to look at it, because our authority is spiritual in nature, it's not physical. The authority we have in Christ is spiritual in nature. And that is important because spiritual authority is greater than physical authority. Greater than physical authority. Physical authority is what we saw Herod, a nation of Israel, exercising over James when they killed him with a sword. And they took Peter and they were about to kill him. Spiritual authority is what we saw the church wielding to deliver Peter out of the hands of Herod. How does spiritual authority work? In the prayer of the saints. Notice what happened. They found all the soldiers who physically guarded Peter still standing watch. But the man they were watching over was gone. That's spiritual authority. Power past power. Soldiers could not explain what happened to the prisoner. And they were not ordinary men, they were elite soldiers. 16 of them, one man. That means prisoner is important. And yet, he was delivered supernaturally. That's not the first time. Chapter 5 of Acts also, an angel came and told Peter and John, go and speak to the people all the words of this life. They found the prison door shut. They found the guards there, but there was no prisoner. Another power had overpowered them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Another power entirely. So spiritual authority is greater than natural authority. But where does Satan's dominion come from? When he said, all this power will I give unto your authority, for it was delivered. I was delivered through the sin of man. So Satan's kingdom, pay attention, is not a physical kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom. And it is expressed through the hearts of men that do not believe. Should I say that again? Satan's kingdom, it's not the physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom that is expressed to the hearts of those who do not believe the gospel. I'm going to say one or two things before we round up, because, you know, when you are humorous about certain things, it allows some truth to sink faster. We used to watch some movies in those days. You see, the kingdom is under the sea. There's
flat screen. You now show what you are doing on the earth. Now I'm looking at you. One of the agents will now come. He's now narrating his experience, his journey on the earth. Where are you? They are under the sea. They are watching you. There's a screen there. The intelligence behind those things, even Satan is marveling. How did you people come up with this about me? It's impressive. People are gifted. You know how many movies follow that pattern? On our kingdom. And then the most hilarious part, let me open that. Right. The most hilarious part, the messenger that they sent will now say that we're doing everything well, everything was working. On mention the name Jesus, everybody in the room now fall down. Say, stop, don't mention that name. In Acts chapter 19, the servants of Skiba, when they mentioned the name, they were the ones that were cast out. The demon did not fall. They fell. They ran out shirtless and suitless. After they mentioned the name, the demon did not shake. He even asked them, Jesus, I know. So the demon even repeated the name Jesus. The demon did not fall down. But the one in our film, something is just, it's just comedy. I'm telling you, it's just comedy. Nothing to do with facts. No fact there at all. They pronounced the name of Jesus over the demon that possessed man. And the demon responded, Jesus and the Paul, I know, but who are you? Then the demon now cast them out. So if he just, by just calling the name, something just happened. You know, somebody call the name. Everybody there, plus person sitting on the throne, now fall down. Even Satan is that way, people are ingenious. Only man can think of such things. Even demons are not able to think about such an idea. That since when did we get to that level? One flash screen somewhere where they are, as in, it's just terrible. No business at all in scripture. And that's why we believe myths and fictions a lot. Choice of people. Don't try to cast out any devil, though. If you know you are living in sin, don't live in sin. Because it will hinder your faith. But sin of any kind is family business. It's not Satan's business. You will never sin against the devil. Sin is always against God. Now, you that you are in Christ, anything that is called sin that you do wrong is called family business. It's not Satan's business. It is those who are outside of the family that their sin can be Satan's reason for oppressing them. You are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, a new creation, there is therefore now no condemnation. If there's no condemnation, no room for Satan to operate, because he needs condemnation to operate. So the atmosphere is completely unconducive for him to operate. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? You are in Christ Jesus. Say it again. I am in Christ Jesus. Say, I am in Christ Jesus. I'm not by myself. I'm in Christ Jesus. You know, that means you are in a different kingdom, in a different realm, in a different way, in a different place, in a different region, under a different authority. So the rules that apply to you are different. The law of sin and death doesn't operate where you are. The only law that operates where you are is the law of spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So you are in a different realm spiritually entirely. Entirely. Satan knows this. So what he does is he attacks your consciousness. Because like I said at the beginning of teaching, there is righteousness and there's righteousness, consciousness. They're not the same. Righteousness is what God gave to you in Christ Jesus. Consciousness is your knowledge of what he has done. So Paul says, he will give you the spirit of wisdom, which is what? Revelation in the epignosis of him. What is epignosis? Clear, precise facts. A bird's eye view. X-ray vision. X-ray vision. What is inside forgiveness of sins? X-ray. What is inside adoption? You X-ray it. You see exactly what's inside. What's the inside accepted in the beloved? You see it clearly. What's inside sealed by spirit? What does that mean? You X-ray. So you have intimate details of what each thing means. That's what Paul means by epignosis. So you may know the hope of his calling, or when he invited you, what should you expect based on that invitation? What should you expect? If I say, let's go out for lunch, the next thing you'd like to know is, where are we going for lunch? Somebody says, why? So you can know what to expect. If I say, let's go to the Ritz-Carlton.
Okay, let me come out to Nigeria. You know the Ritz-Carlton International Hotel. Let's go to Best Western. You know Best Western? Transcott Hilton. So let's go there. You have an idea of how pricey the lunch will be. And because I mentioned those hotels, when I'm about to pick you up, you are likely to be careful about what you are wearing. But you'll not be careful. I say like, let's go to Mama Put Down there now. you might already know what will lunch be about if not Amara, Begri. Here we do. That's all. When you go to the same places, guess what? They can still sell Amara Begri. But the way they even package it, you ask yourself, is this Amara? I've eaten the shape of the but they are serving now. No, the way they shape the thing, you're like, is this triangle or trapezium? I've seen they folded Eba like this, like a rule. When they surrounded it with vegetables of different color and standard, you are thinking, this is not Mama Put. And the bill is not Mama Put bill also. So where I'm taking you to will affect your expectation. And I will know because of the way you are dressed when you are following me. So the hope of his calling is what you are to expect based on the invitation that he gave to you of what he made available for you. Is that clear now? The hope of his calling, I just tried to break it down for you. That's what it means. So that when you have that, you now know what do you have mastery over? What do you have authority over? Sometimes you become so charged up and so conscious, you'll tell somebody who's afraid, sit by my side and let's see if fear can stay. I've told someone before, having bad dreams, put your head on the pillow I sleep on and let's see the devil that will come to harass you. And that was the end of it. What did I use? My authority as a son. No bad dream can follow you here. Nothing can press you in the night. You've been pressing you before, they know where to come. They also know where not to go. They can't press you here because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm not boasting because I fasted 40 days. I mean, I fasted, I was still oppressed after the fast. I don't know anything. They still press me down. I suffered. That's when I know that it's not by fasting. After you finish the fast, before the fast, during the fast, the demons are the same. Because you are not changing, so they too are not changing. You understand? Because when you were fasting, you were meant to change. What will change you as you are fasting? The revelation of God's word. Something happens to your consciousness. So your consciousness at the beginning and the end does not change. You think something, nothing will change. Is the authority there? Yes. Why? You have a loaded gun. You cannot cock. You cannot aim. You cannot shoot. You now look like somebody who doesn't have a gun. Your authority is like a loaded gun. What God gives you is a gun. You learn how to cock. You learn how to aim. You learn how to shoot. And guess what? Your aim gets better with practice. After a while, you don't see any reason why you should miss every time you shoot. You now know. I spoke to that spirit. That spirit heard me. I'm going to bed. I'll hear results in the morning. You're not waiting up and staying up. It does not sleep, it doesn't slumber. Why are you also not sleeping and you're not slumbering? When you know you are meant to. Not that you say, after you give the command, Nassan and DVG, my enemies will not get the better of me. My enemies, no, you are not yet in charge. No. If you give the word of a command and authority, you go to sleep. You tell yourself, I will hear results in the morning. That's all. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop now. I went to visit some people. And I encountered some level of witchcraft. So, and it was sort of a family kind of garden. I've not seen them for years. My parents didn't usually like me to fraternize with them, but I'm an older person now. So they came in the night, dream in the night. So it was a very interesting scenario because this other person was discussing with me and telling me what she was passing through and how she needed help. Talking to me as a servant of God, I just met some of my old family people, the older ones, who just recently found out that, okay, so he's a man of God. Me, they thought that I was one of those people because I don't have work. That's why I carry Bible. You know, something like that. It's what Elipo said. Those who are called, they are trusting the grace of God. You that is missed call. He will sit down and use you as snacks. It's as snacks. He went to go and do ministry. That means you have no allotment. You know allotment? You didn't receive any discharge papers. You were not commissioned. He said, I don't know how people are not, that they don't fear God. Some of us that were called, we spent years doubting, they called us. We're not doing anything. Say, I could go. You brought broad chest to come and receive bullets. With miscall. You suspect God called you. You don't enter me with suspicion. You are gone. They will come for you. You are finished. You enter with suspicion. Those who saw Jesus, they will sometimes say, God, maybe you called me. You. So in the night, I saw that person came and was discussing me. And I saw another being behind the person that the person couldn't see, trying to stop that person from talking. And when that person was trying to talk, I was seeing, I knew the person couldn't see this other being. But I could see the being. I was smiling. So that being walked up. I was coming straight to attack me. I just smiled. All I said was, in the name of Jesus. The person was transfixed, fell down, fire started burning. I had news the next morning. The person was sick. I woke up, I was like, oh, you think I was just carrying Bible? No, I'm not just carrying Bible. This work is too dangerous for that kind of thing. You have not seen people lay hands at the hand where we hang. It's a wicked world that we're living in. The one that calls you will back you up. The caller is a doer. And so you have to know how you're called. It's not something, it's not, I saw space. It's not my space. They say there's vacancy, any vacancy here. And I say I'm available. Even to step into another man's office is dangerous. Not matter of ministry as a whole. No. Ministry has to do with the certainty. You have to show that God has called you. You know, you have to be sure that God has called you. It's not something you don't play with it. You don't joke with such things like that. Because attacks will come. Attacks will come. My own personal friend, Pastor Leia Ali, will come and minister here one of these days very soon. Me minister somebody in the afternoon. In the evening, they came for him. Five or six of them, wearing white. We tied somebody down, you are losing him. He said, I've lost him. In the name of Jesus, there's nothing you can do. Now, I just want to warn you. If you don't want to die, don't come back. When you speak like that, they know something's backing you up. If you don't want to die, it's a violent, but it can be violent. Say, don't come back. So there are such things. You know, we don't preach them in Christocentric. Those things exist, though. I mean, I'm saying there is. Then say, if you tie somebody down, say, so you were the one tying it down. This one, in the name of Jesus, is set free. There are forces like that. Hallelujah. But thank God for the authority we have in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. That's our eternal confidence and assurance. We are not afraid of anything. There's no wisdom nor understanding against the Lord. It shall not stand. That's what the Bible says. So we're confident in the authority that we have in him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's thank him tonight and give him praise. Thank you, Father. We're so grateful. Thank you for reminding us of your grace, your ability, your goodness, your power, your workings in our lives. Thank you. Thank you. For the days ahead are filled with victories for us. Victory on every side. We wield our authority accurately. We wield it with the understanding that nothing on the surface of the earth can confound the authority and can defeat whatever you have done in our lives. What you have done is permanent. It cannot be undone. We give you the praise for it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.